Sussed.
Sorted.
Shifting.
Want to be debt-free? Sorted.org.nz has the tools and guides to help me. And it's free.
The Morning Shift.
That's right, whānau, and I'm very excited because this is a big part of what we are looking for in 2024.
Yes, we are.
All getting together, we're sussing our lives, we're sorting our lives, and we're shifting into the light and getting to, I guess, getting educated on topics that we maybe a little unconfident in. And this week, it's no different. Thanks to our mates at sorted.org.nz, we are talking investments. This is the investments edition.
Money, 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 money.
So I welcome into the show Tom Hartman. And Tom, kia ora, welcome. And you can give us a quick description as to what it is that you do for Sorted.
Kia ora tato. So I'm the personal finance lead at Sorted, which means I spend my time working on the Sorted website with a great, great team of people. And we've put together a whole bunch of tools, guides, and blogs for people to really to get their money sorted. And I must say, one of the great advantages of working this gig is we don't have to sell anything. You know, like we're not trying to make a buck. We're trying to put information out there so people can make the best decisions with their money that they can.
100%. I was talking to you a little bit earlier, and I was saying, for me personally, in this conversation, it's going to be a great conversation because there's so much I don't know about this space. There's so much questions I have, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts on things. But if we could start somewhere, when we think about the word investments, how would you describe investments to like my 4-year-old? You know, like in layman's kind of terms, you know, without getting too technical too fast.
Yeah. So what I like to do is just like ask them, well, what's money for? Right. And you're probably going to get, you know, an answer like, well, money is for spending. It's for buying lollies. It's fine.
Yes.
Okay. So all that's true, but money is also for growing. And what I mean by that is over time, there should be one part of your finances that's always growing. And growing towards your future. And that's not because we want to get greedy and rich or anything like that. That's because our needs over time, they increase over time. Mm. As your life will go forward, I can say for like everybody in this room that over time, your needs are going to increase no matter 100%. What you do over time until that moment where you want to step away from working, right? In retirement when you, yeah, exactly. But that's an advantage, actually, having a lot of time. So money for growing, right? And when I with the kids, it's an interesting thing when you teach them about, you know, actually you can use the jar method. I like, but a lot of people talk about 3 jars, one for spending, one for saving, and one for giving. But actually we like 4 jars. There should be one for growing too, right? So the spending one, you know, is for lollies and stuff right now that they're doing.
All vegetables.
whatever they need or want, right? And giving anytime, anything they're spending on other people, you know, it can be birthday presents or kohai, it can be all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Saving anything they're working towards, you know, like my son was saving for a skateboard, you know, or something like that. But that growing part, that part is sort of like an entrepreneurial, an investment fund. That thing should never go down. That should be growing your whole life.
It's interesting you said that because I would have thought that the growing was the savings jar, but there is a distinct difference between what we're about to talk about. What are the difference between, because I know a lot of people probably think like me, like, well, wouldn't the growing one be the savings account? And what's the difference between the growing jar and the savings?
Yeah, so here's the deal. Let's talk about it. Investing as a word is really cool because what it means, it comes from the Latin to put on clothing. It's like putting something on.
Wow. So you're investing in yourself.
Exactly. You're taking it on yourself. But let's talk about the difference between saving and investing because they are not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people like mix them together with their language.
Oh, you got me, man. I'm hooked on the sinker.
All the time. Okay, so here's how it goes. Saving is just setting aside money for the future. You're not spending it now. You're just setting it aside. Investing is going shopping. Investing is going out and buying stuff. But if you think about most of the things we buy, they lose value right away, right?
Cars,
yeah,
clothes.
Sneakers, any of that stuff. If you try to resell them immediately afterwards, or if after you owned it, even for just a month, you can't get as much money for it because it's not new anymore, right? It's losing value over time.
Is that depreciating word? Is that where that comes in?
It's, yeah. Cars do that incredibly. Like, you can drive something off of a new car lot, and it's, like, lost 40% in value just after you started driving it, right? If you tried to sell that again.
So that's a depreciation asset.
So that's it's a value loser. It's losing value over time. But not everything is like that. And investing is about buying things called assets that have the potential to grow over time. Now, we can't always guarantee that they're going to grow, but there's a couple reasons why they do end up growing over time. So one is shares, for example, which is a part of a company. Mm-hmm. A company, and you guys have started a company here, is growing over time in value, how much revenue it's bringing in, how much. And so that means when you buy a share, actually, it can go up in value, either because people are willing to pay more for it down the line or because it's spinning off profits and you're sharing in those profits. That's what businesses do, right? So it's a value gainer. It's gaining value over time. And so that's what investments is actually about buying things that increase in value instead of going down in value. That's really what it is.
I read the book.
I understand that.
I read the book, Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Oh, yeah.
But basically what I got out of it was make your money work for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where do you start? Like, if you were talking about shares or investing, if you were like someone who, hey, man, I want to jump on board. I want to make my money work for me. Where do I start?
Who doesn't, right? But it's all this, like, obfuscated, complicated language and all sorts of things. And where do we begin? Yeah. Right. But actually it's become easier than ever to start investing. And the easiest place to start is in KiwiSaver. So that's where I was always, when I'm discussing with people, that's exactly where we should start. And most of us are in KiwiSaver. Maybe we're not making the most of it, but a lot of us were signed up at the beginning when there used to be that $1,000 kickstart. But even online, there's lots of platforms. You know, if you think about like Hatch or Kernel or Shares, these guys have made it incredibly easy to start investing, even tiny amounts of money. So it's not hard to get started at all. But I always point people to KiwiSaver because it's not just your money going in. So you're not just contributing your own money. Actually, the government is putting in up to like $521 a year into that thing. And then your employer, if you're an employee, is tacking on top of it. And that's where a lot of money comes from, actually, because you put in a minimum of 3% and they put a 3% on top of that of your gross salary. And, you know, little by little, that thing starts snowballing up.
What is KiwiSaver for those that don't know or just would like a bit more awareness about what exactly it is?
Yeah, so KiwiSaver is, I like to call it a system. Some people call it a scheme or a plan that helps people save and invest for their future. Okay, so setting aside money and buying into investments, into assets that can grow in value. And it's primarily made for two goals in particular. So it's really good for saving for your first home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good for building your wealth towards retirement, which is what it's primarily made for. It's been around here in New Zealand since 2007, so not that long. So most of us who are just starting out with it, there's been nobody, for example, who's had their entire career and been in KiwiSaver. But in the future, they will be. There definitely will be. You know, people, you know, 18 years old's coming on it now. By the time they retire, they will be millionaires.
There's also, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but can you use it for hardship as well? Obviously, you have to be able to prove, but when it gets to a dire time, hey, sometimes it is good just to have that there.
Yeah. And that is an appropriate reason to hit it. If you really get into significant financial hardship, there's some other exceptions too, like if you get a terminal illness or something like that. But primarily that money is locked up for the long term. It is there if you get into really dire circumstances and can't meet your bills, for example, and things like that. And that's totally appropriate. You know, I'm happy to say it. There was a time when I had experienced redundancy and I actually had to hit my KiwiSaver account to keep the bills paid, you know, for a while. But since then, you know, it's been a totally different experience. And now, you know, KiwiSaver has really been a great system to help me save and invest regularly.
I have the perception that I probably have a resistance towards thinking about investing because I feel like that's for like people that have heaps of money. Like, I don't, and I think a lot of people maybe feel like that, like, it's hard enough to pay the bills. It's hard enough to think about saving. Even saving, like, just for a rainy day. This is really difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So to suggest the idea of investing, it seems like something that's far-fetched. Is that the right perception to have? Or is investing for everyone?
Yeah, it's investing, I can say, is part of all of our future because of those future needs that go forward. But I will say this, like, I know where that comes from. That comes from, once upon a time, it was just for people with a lot of money. That's not true anymore today, happily we're able to say. Because of systems like KiwiSaver that are really made to just put a little bit amount aside and buy assets, over time they snowball up. And because we're starting so early and we have the advantage of time going forward, we're able to compound wealth in ways that we never have before. And then there are those platforms that I mentioned before that have really made it easy to even invest like under a dollar sometimes. You're just putting little dollars in. So a lot of it is about systems that we have in place that get us into the habit. And we don't need lots of money anymore. It used to be that you had to pay off your mortgage first and then you started investing for retirement. And so you had all these people who are like in their late 50s and all that who actually were building a lot of money because they were about to stop working. But that's not true anymore. Actually, now we can get into a system and really take advantage of time.
Yes.
Because if you ever look, I mean, we've got this great video on Sorted that Natasha narrated and uses M&Ms just to show people how wealth compounds over time. And actually just starting early, you know, you get a pile of M&Ms that just grow and grow and grow. So all of our projections, we've got a lot of tools on Sorted. We've got, for example, a KiwiSaver tool that can show you about how much that, and we're not talking about somebody being stinking rich or anything like that, but actually you'll be in a much better position to meet those future needs. And we can project more or less of where you'll end up if you invest certain amounts. And then if you have lots of time, you can actually tweak your settings, what type of fund you're in, how much you're contributing and stuff like that, so you can actually get the results that you're after.
It's like a language in itself that I just cannot understand. And for the life of me, I'll try and research and learn some things, but at the end of the day, I kind of just go, ah, that kind of sounds right. I'll put some money in this and I'll invest in this. Is that a thing? Like, there's a language barrier there that is kind of separating the people who already have it to people who are trying their best to get it? Or have I made that up in my mind?
Yeah, sometimes I almost think that, you know, it's been made way too complex on purpose almost. So of that, like, rigor, you know, like it's this big conspiracy or something like that. But actually what I found is it just, you know, every area has its own language. I mean, even on this podcast, you guys will have your own language. Sure. And that develops over time. And if you're not used to that, if you're not using it on a regular basis, it sort of becomes more complicated if I had to. And whole dictionaries have been, and we even did a glossary ourselves, you know, multiple glossaries in this space just to help people get to know what things mean. But it all really comes down to really simple principles. In investing, you are basically being paid for putting your money at risk. You are basically putting your money into a certain amount of risk. You might lose all your money on if you're investing in something wild like Bitcoin or something like that, or you know, that value will go up and down. But the simple thing is, I like to say it's like surfing. It's like surfing when you're investing.
Catch that wave.
I'm trying to beat the wave.
You're trying to catch that wave. You're trying to catch multiple waves. And that's what the markets are doing all the time. They're going up and down and up and down. And that's sort of the weird thing about a KiwiSaver account is it's not like a savings account that keeps growing. It's actually an investment account that is worth more or less at a given time. And you're riding that wave. And when things are cheaper, you're buying more. And when things are more expensive, you're buying less. You're backing off. And that's exactly the way you want it. So you're always putting your money a bit at risk, but you can expect to be paid for that. Otherwise, it's not a good investment.
Hey, Tom, can I so let's say I have $10. And I've decided that usually I would save $10 a week. And that was going to be my future, right? I'm just going to have a savings account. if I all of a sudden decided, okay, I've just listened to Tom, he's making a point here. I like surfing. I want to ride a wave. If I was to split and go $5 into savings and then $5 into investing, how does that get started? How will I start doing that? And then tell me what's happening to my money? Like, take us on that journey of what happens to that $5 note.
Let's talk first in the KiwiSaver context, right? So you're putting $5 in. Now, on top of that, on top of your $5, say you're taking it from your salary and your wages, your employer is going to put another $5 on top of that. The government is going to put $2.50 on top of that because they give you 50 cents for every dollar you put in, up to a maximum of $5.21 a year. So
that $5 now gone to $12.50?
Yep.
Wow.
Just
straight away.
Just like that, without it even being invested, right? That's what's happening with that. So the contributions are going into KiwiSaver. This is what makes you need a really, really good reason not to be in KiwiSaver, because this is what makes it really worth it. Okay, so then that money, then it goes to a certain into a KiwiSaver fund, and your provider invests it, which means that they buy something with it. This is where I'm talking about that investing is actually like going shopping. So what do they buy? It depends on the fund you're going into. Those funds are a mix of...
I can tell you, my KiwiSaver is on the high, it's the high risk one at the moment.
Yeah,
We had three options and I went for the high risk because I'm like, I'm way away from retiring. Play with my money and see how much money I can make in the meantime.
All right. So say you're in a growth fund, which mostly holds growth assets like shares and commercial property, right? So that $12.50 is going to buy slices of a company. And that could be a company here in New Zealand, I don't know, like Main Freight or Air New Zealand or any of these great companies that are around here. Or it could be a company overseas. It could be Apple, it could be Tesla, it could be lots of the companies that we see like Amazon. And so you are actually owning a slice of that company. And that slice that you own and you're holding it there, you've got $12.50 of that. And over time, the value of that is because those companies continue to make profits and the value of that tends to go up in time. Sometimes in those higher growth ones, it even goes up to as much as, on average, 10% a year. And that can mean sometimes it sways as high as 40%, and sometimes it goes as and loses 20%.
Let's say, for instance, after a year, that $12.50, just still talking on that little slice, that $12.50, it's gone up by 10%, as you said. It's rocketed up by 10%. Mm-hmm. What is that $12.50 worth now for me when I retire?
Yeah, so you're asking me to get out a calculator, which I'm happy to do. We can do this
on the spot, Tom. We loved it.
Let's do it. So $12.50 times 10% equals, so it's $1.25 on top of that.
There we go. So just because of investing. Meanwhile, when I look over at that $5 I put into my savings, that's still $5.
Yeah.
So that's the major difference between having investing your money through KiwiSaver and then doing it through. Now, are there other options though, right? We don't just have to do a KiwiSaver.
Yeah, but I would be remiss if I didn't start to tell you what happens next after that, because that's when it gets really interesting. Because
talk to me.
Because that $1.25 does not just sit there idly. That gets invested as well. And so in year two, that starts to earn its own returns as well. This is what you get back to you. So I won't be, we could go on Sorted and get on our savings calculator and see how much it compounds up. But basically, it snowballs up over time. And it's not just your $5 that you put in. It's not just the contributions on top of that. But actually, that money starts making money of its own. And that's why... it starts to almost act like a hockey stick going up like this and snowballing up over time. We project, if you look at our tools, we project that most of the results you're going to get, most of the money that you get back comes from those returns compounding over time. It does not come from how much money you put in.
So it's money that's earned itself. Not stuff that we've gone out into the workplace and earned. That's just money that's just been building on top of itself.
And that's why that expression that you have money working for you is actually true. And I could say from my own experience, I'm not hugely rich. I don't make tons of money, but I have had the experience of certain months where my KiwiSaver fund has earned more money than I make in a job. And I'm like, wow, it's doing better than I am. It doesn't happen all the time because that thing is going up and down and up and down all
yeah,
all,
but does it time. Look as good in the blazer as you do, though, Tom? I mean, that's part of it as well.
I don't look that good, but I am wearing my sorted T-shirt today.
Can I, before we go past KiwiSaver, can I just ask one more as well? Or maybe there's a few more with KiwiSaver. But I don't want to take the air out of this, and I hope that that's not the case. But when you go to get your money out the end, let's say it's for retirement, let's say it's for property, is any of that taxed, or do you get the number that's there in your bank account? And I think it's just important for people to know.
Keep asking, bro.
Oh, yeah. This is a great, great question, because in this system that we have, what's really good about it is that that number is yours. Because along the way, so when we contribute to KiwiSaver, our earnings have already been taxed. So we pay tax there. Then as we're earning investment returns, behind the scenes, we're paying taxes on that. Going up, and most KiwiSaver funds are PIE funds, which means they're portfolio investment entities, and we pay a certain amount of tax, a lower amount of tax than say what we normally do. So it'd be the highest rate is 28%. We're getting taxed on the way up, so that snowball that I'm describing, mm-hmm. the government is taxing on the way up, but right at the end when you withdraw, that money is all yours.
What you see is what you get.
Yep. What you see is what you get, which is a much better experience than, say, overseas, where, for example, when you withdraw, you get taxed right then, mm-hmm. and you're like, well, I need $100, and then you go, and it gets taxed, and you're like, well, why am I just holding 80? I got to go back and withdraw some more. You know, it's not a very good experience at all. Happily here, what you get in KiwiSaver is your money.
Mm. Tom, how does a man from good. New York get over here into Aotearoa and tell me about the role at stuff.org. Sorted.org.
Tell me
how you end up there, and how rewarding is it to see some of the, you know, you're not having to sell to people. You've just got tools there that can help people become more literate when it comes to their finances. What's that experience like for you?
Yeah, look, I can realize that I know you guys are having a ton of fun and a ton of success. I am so happy for, you know, just to be on this show. But I have a great time in this role, too. It's very, very fulfilling. And and for me, I married into this club. My partner, Emma, my wife, is from Wellington. And so we're raising our three kids here. And so it's a privilege to be here. My background is in journalism and in finance. So I worked in the mortgage industry in California. And Sorted has been a chance to bring these two things together.
Breaks them.
To really communicate trusted information to the public about making decisions with their money. And so that experience there, you know, all of this has been really fulfilling. But one of the most fulfilling things is watching people's anxiety levels with money drop. Awesome. You know, like when you're able to sort your money, when you're able to get your debt under control, when you're able to actually see yourself growing towards your future and that the future looks brighter than what it is right now, people can breathe easier, their well-being goes up. It's been a privilege to really be a part of this, I can really say.
Can I just follow up a question there? I used to talk in high schools around New Zealand, and someone stumped me with a question one day. They were like, if you could talk to all the young people in New Zealand and tell them one thing, and whatever you told them, they'd believe you, what would you say? And I was like, it took me a long time. I can't even remember. It stumped me. But if I could relate that to you, seeing how crippling this topic is and can be for everyday Kiwis, if you could say something to everyone that has that kind of anxiety, that doesn't want to start, what's something you would say to them?
Well, that place where we started, money is for growing. I like to start there a lot. But I'd really like to tell them that they actually have a lot more power than they realize in that financial space. Like, a lot more is up to you. Like, we get into these systems, even the way we pay for anything, our bills or something like that, when money getting taken out of our accounts or the way we're taxed or any of this stuff, a lot of it feels like it's out of our hands. But actually, we can put systems in place. And again, this is the only reason why I'm good with money, is that we can automate a lot of things. So for example, each time you're paid, if you automate that $5 goes into a separate account, that's out of sight, out of mind, happens automatically. You don't need to remember it. And that's something you can do for yourself, for your future, because we know things are going to happen. The unexpected is going to happen. But we also know that we probably don't want to keep working forever. You know, that we're going to need to prepare for those needs in the future. And a lot more is in our control, in our power. So it's really about taking your power in this space, in the money space, and actually making sure that the outcomes, that it's flowing to what's important to you and not what's important to everybody else.
100%.
This might be a bit of a personal question, but I got to ask it. So Winston, my son, he's 2.5 now, and his mum and I, we've been putting money away, put away $20 a week, and it's just slowly building. I'm like, okay, man, you got a whole bunch of money. You got more than me. But is there, I kind of just wonder, is there different avenues we can potentially go down? Because I'm not sure what the money's for yet. I think it could be for uni when he gets older. Maybe it's a car. I'm not sure. But
or even how? Like, what do you?
Yeah, like, is there other ways that I can make this money work? Because at the moment, we're just putting money in, and I feel like we could be doing something else with it.
Yeah, so this is where we can definitely help on Sorted, because that's not something that you want to use KiwiSaver for example, because again, KiwiSaver is really made for those two things of saving for a first home. So if it was for his first home, you might consider using KiwiSaver, but you're not sure what it's really for yet. You kind of know that it's probably, you know, whatever, 16 or 18 years away, mm-hmm. something like that. And so what you're looking for is a managed fund that's outside of KiwiSaver. And most KiwiSaver providers offer them. They're exactly the same funds, but they're not locked up like KiwiSaver. They don't have, you know, the added contributions from employers and from the government, but they earn investment returns and grow over time. They grow over the time more than inflation and more than, for example, a term deposit would typically do over time, especially in such a long time. So on Sorted, we have a platform called Smart Investor, and we help people compare KiwiSaver funds, but also manage funds that aren't KiwiSaver funds. And so you can look through them all and see, you know, how much risk that you're taking on, whether they're more in shares and commercial property or more in bonds or more of a mix, middle of the road. So it really depends on how many ups and downs, how steep you want those waves that you're riding in there. But definitely, you know, Sorted helps you compare those and compare apples with apples, not apples with pineapples. So it's the same type of funds you're looking at. And how much they cost too, because when we pay, you know, professionals to invest for us, it always comes with a cost, and it should. Right. But we can compare those too, because the more we pay, the less comes back to us in terms of that growth.
Love that.
Right?
So. Sorted. I'm on the way.
Can I just ask a question about on the back ends of those investments? Can you have a choice of whether it's a clean thing that you're investing in? Like, you know, for instance, I drive a hybrid, so I'm better than everybody else. I'm trying to save the planet. But how easy is it to find out what it is that your money is going towards and whether that company is doing its job to keep the planet?
Yeah, so that Smart Investor platform is a great place to open up on what companies you're actually investing in. So, for example, it gives you the top 10 companies that are in a given fund. And then you can actually download an entire list of every single company that you're in. And so you can really see. And our friends over at Mindful Money, I don't know if you've heard of the Mindful Money platform.
No.
And it's basically, they actually can help you as well to see if there are any ethical concerns with a given fund that you're going into. So a little bit more research, but there's definitely a lot of information online with our friends over there, and they can tell you like a breakdown for that, whether it's going into fossil fuels, whether it's going into animal cruelty or human rights issues. So they evaluate all these funds based on that. And Sorted is, you know, a lot of our audience on Sorted is very interested in the ethical space. So we have a bunch of blogs that discuss, you know, how to invest ethically and why it's important and the best ways to go about that. And we point people to given funds that actually are, you know, socially oriented and, you know, give a whole breakdown of what they hold and what they don't.
So the language behind this is pretty simple. Like when you take away all the big words and stuff, the idea behind investing is, this is what I've learned today, is it's basically giving your money a chance to go off and buy into some company, and we hope that that company gets more and more successful, because if that gets more and more successful, we'll make more, it'll be worth more, and therefore our dollar's worth more. Is that a simple way of putting it?
Yes.
Have I got any, have I missed heaps or?
No, there's one really important thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because this is an area that I is really important for us to get to. You could hear it in the way you were saying it. So we put it in a company and we hope that it's going to grow over time.
Yes.
Not all companies are successful. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is really important. We want to invest safely. And the safest way to invest is what they call to diversify. And that means that all that means is a fancy word that means don't put all your eggs in one basket. Okay, so we don't want to be investing in one company. Even if it's like Amazon, it's done amazing. We have no idea how Amazon is going to do in the future. And if anybody comes to you guys and says, yeah, I know how Amazon's going to do in the future, put all your money in that, run. Because it's probably a scam. You know, there are lots of people out there who are like, this is the greatest investment ever, you know, and they want you to put your money in that. So how are we going to do it? We're going to invest in tons of companies. We're going to invest in hundreds, maybe thousands of companies. And the way to do that is in a fund like KiwiSaver or non-KiwiSaver managed funds. And what they do is they diversify. They spread your investment. Even they slice up the slice. And you own multiple companies. You don't just own Amazon. You own...
It's like the Index 500.
Yep. Well, the S&P 500 is one way. Is one way to diversify, but you only own the top 500 companies in America there. So even that is not necessarily diversified. It's not necessarily safe. So ideally what you want is some of that and some local companies and some international companies. That way, if things go well here, we take part in that, and things don't go well in the States or things go well in overseas, and they don't go so well here, you know, so we want to be safe.
It sounded confusing though, Tom. It sounded like I have to learn a whole lot about different companies and make sure that I know, well, you know, and try and predict things. Like but savings not,
no,
right? Like,
no, you do not have to predict.
Okay.
What you need to just make sure is that you spread your risk and that you're not just investing in one company. But in KiwiSaver, what we have is a fund manager. We pay people to do this for us. We pay the professionals so we don't have to think about this all the time.
Okay.
And in fact, lots of in the media, you'll see, is Tesla up or down today? Is Amazon up or down today? We don't have to pay attention to that at all. All we have to pay attention to is the fund that we're putting money into. Mm-hmm. Like for your son, for example, all you have to do is look at what's inside that fund. Is it just one company? No, that's not the right one for you, right? Is it a fund that holds lots of different kinds of investments? So does it have some shares, some bonds, some property? So it's mixed that way. But it's also of the shares that it's not just holding a couple companies here in New Zealand, that it's also abroad. It's got some here and in Australia. It's got some abroad, overseas. And that way your risk is covered.
Can I trust them? Like, I know that if I lift up my floorboards and I pull out my money that I usually keep under my floorboards, I know it's going to be there, right? But unless the house burns down, then that's going to destroy my plane.
You'd save
but
that first, though, eh?
Yeah, I'd probably run there first, yeah. The dog would have to wait. But are they trustworthy people when we go to sort and we look at the different options there are? Are they all tested and making sure they're not telling us fibs and saying, oh, no, you had a down month, but actually keeping our profits?
I love this question because actually in the crypto space, we've seen exactly that, right? People would say, oh, yeah, the money's in your account there when it actually wasn't. All sorts of things have happened. Happily, in the fund space, this is a really mature part of the economy that is very heavily regulated by the government. So we've got the Financial Markets Authority who is regulating the space because they know that everyday people have their entire life savings in with these companies. You know, so they are all over it in terms of the regulations, in terms of the guidelines. But even better, I can tell you that a lot of the trouble in the crypto space has been the guys who have been pulling in the money sort of mixed it with their business. you know? So in KiwiSaver, those things are separate. Like there's no commingling of funds of your money with the business of, you know, one of the KiwiSaver providers. So that's separate. But then even better, there's another company, a separate company that's a supervisor and supervising your fund manager, whether they're doing with your money, whether they're investing it in the way they say they're investing it. So there's really strict guidelines in place. You can think of them as guardrails. Like they're really in there. And finally, your money is held in a trust. So if a KiwiSaver provider, if their business fails, your money is separate. And what would happen is it would just go to another KiwiSaver provider of your choice. You know, it would be you know, safe in a trust, and then you could still make choices with it. It's not hard to change KiwiSaver providers. For
what example, if the government stopped doing it though? Like, what if the government was like, a new government came in, they're like, nah, KiwiSaver, we're done. Would we lose all that money?
No. It's the same thing of having your money in a bank. No government would ever do that because the laws are set up. Actually, and so KiwiSaver providers are our private companies. We do have one like nonprofit one as well, but this isn't it's set up by the government. It's administered by the government. The government does not run KiwiSaver. This is really important to know. Like they don't guarantee KiwiSaver either, but they're run by fund managers that you know that we've all heard about, like, you know, ANZ and ASB and Milford and Simplicity. And, you know, these are well-known firms that have been up for a while and they're managing our money for us. They work for us.
That's good. Just finally, this is just one for me. Sorry, guys. I feel like I've ambushed this entire interview.
Because you can ambush.
Super into it.
We're learning a lot.
I have a dollar. It's embarrassing. Can I start my first, you know, can I go and invest my first thing as a dollar, or do I have to save up to at least it's like $100 before I get into investing?
Oh, you could do a dollar. Like, again, a lot of those online platforms, I'll just mention like Sharesies, Hatch, and Stake, and things like that. They're set up exactly for that dollar.
Wow.
The question is, what's that dollar for? How soon do you need it back? Like, what are you using it for? Like, you're investing. Like, I love your example because you're like, yeah, we're putting this amount away, and it's for our kid 18 years from now or however long that is. So that's like, when you hold the dollar in your hand, you're like, well, what's that going to be for? And that's really important to answer that question because that drives your investment decisions on whether you're making the right decision for it or not. Like if you're saving for a first home, if you're saving for your retirement, it makes sense to put that dollar into KiwiSaver.
Oh, another question. If you break up with your long-term partner, do they get half of your investment shares is it all yours?
KiwiSaver can be part of relationship property. Like that comes under the law. So
even though you both have shares, I'm coming.
And what we're finding is that lots of people forget about that. And actually, you know, they totally, you know, they basically forego their future because they forgot that actually KiwiSaver should be a part of the conversation when you go through a split.
Well, hang on a second. So if you both are putting money into KiwiSaver, let's say you're married or you're de facto. Was that the word?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You might have to, they might be have access to some of your KiwiSaver. Is that what you're saying? So it could happen.
So when you split, you take all the everything you own and split it, right? And KiwiSaver is part of that. So whether it's a house, whether it's cars, whether it's anything, and lots of.
But they didn't go to work and work with me.
Well, one, it's not really
I'm
fair,
not trying to break up, by the way. I'm happy.
I thought you were happy.
I'm secure. We good. I'm just.
You know, one, it's not really fair, but two, it's also the law, right? So, I mean, that's the way the law works.
That's a great way to answer the question. It's kind of the law.
You might want to stay within the law, right?
Okay, so I'm feeling like now that I have a fresh view on investing. I honestly thought the language was scary. There was too much stuff that I didn't understand. But when you break it down like that, you don't actually need a minimum amount. Like you could literally, now that there's platforms set up, we can go to sorta.org.nz and we can see all the different tools and different ways we can invest. But it's like something for everyone. It's not just about saving. And the one thing you've said is to keep in mind, but before we head there and think about it, is just know when you want that money back, right? So have a plan as to, like, what am I investing for, and kind of when will I need that money returned back to me? And that's the starting space. It's not about saving up truckloads or doing research necessarily into what companies are going to do well and what ones are going to fold and what not to invest in. We want an advanced or, I guess, a, how would you say it, many different things that we're investing in, not just one thing that we're putting all our money. Diversifying our portfolio.
Yeah, stay safe out there, man.
Yeah, and this is all the information that we'd need to become what we'd call investors. Ooh, a little investment portfolio.
I think the other one I took away too is like if you are young or younger, like time is your biggest commodity, right?
Yeah.
For this, like building. This is long game chat.
Yeah.
You know, and
what it is. Yeah.
And that's what makes this conversation hard sometimes for people, because a lot of us feel like we're in the short game. But well, we talk about it on the show a lot in terms of emotions. So shifters will understand this, that when some of us can't access different emotions, it's because we realize, oh, maybe we didn't have the tools at some point. But at some point, you get tired of the tools that you had that isn't working through the problem. So you need new emotional tools. And that's feel like if we could put this chat over to what we're talking about here, it's kind of the same thing.
Yep.
Hey, and so I think that's You're a really right. important takeout. What just quickly though, what are five takeaways, potentially those who are listening could take away around investing? If you have five quick ones.
Well, you just nailed a whole bunch of them.
Sorry, Tom.
Exactly what I wanted to
We need the expert to say it.
All right. You need to be really clear on what that money is for, right? And that includes how soon you need it back and what goal of yours it's going to achieve, okay? Because from that is how you make good decisions about where to put it and what to invest it in. So again, it does not make any sense to invest in shares or in crypto or anything like that, and you need the money next year. That makes no sense, because those things, you know, fluctuate so wildly that it might not be there. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is risk. Remember that in investing, you're getting paid, you're getting a return because you're putting your money at risk. That means you might lose some, or it might lose value, or we really don't know what's going to happen. And beware of people who think they know what's going to happen, right? Because those people are scammers. Total scammers. Yeah, they're like vampires, man. They're
I got a few family members that are vampires. No, I'm
kidding. So you really want to realize what you're doing. And so the amount of risk that you take on, really, you have to make a decision. And in things like KiwiSaver, that's the type of fund. You know, you were talking about growth or balanced or conservative, which option you took. That's really a decision on how much risk you're taking on. So when you went into growth, for example, you're taking on more risk you're going into. But that's appropriate because you have lots of time that you're going to be in it. Okay, so that's the other thing, the value of time, I'm glad we, and yes. of compounding, of compound returns over time. So when people go on about compound interest, that is the engine that grows our money. Okay?
It's like being in the gym, and you want to get a big chest, you're going to start with those lightweights. But after time, and it builds, and have that Arnold chest.
Yeah,
be real wide. Is it? Yeah. I'm trying to make this example land. You know,
I like that example a lot, especially because at a certain point you're going to keep doing this day after day, week after week, and it doesn't feel like you're making any progress. And then all of a sudden,
boom,
you level up, right?
It'll happen.
Yeah. And that actually is what happens with your money too. You're just you know, putting in contributions, and it seems so little. It seems so flat, like nothing's really happening. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Hello.
Yep. There's the wave, and there's the compounding that goes up. That's exactly the same thing.
Get us on that wave, Tom. Get us on that wave.
Jump on. But just be ready, because, like, you want it to be a wave. Like, nobody wants to be sitting out there on the – I'm not a surfer, but I just love this image, right? Nobody wants to be sitting on the water just waiting for a wave, right? So you want to get into an area where growth can happen. Yeah, you really want to get there. So that's the other thing. Another thing we've already talked about is staying safe when you're investing, right? You're not going into just one company. You're not just investing in Microsoft, for example. Yep, you're spreading your risk in lots of different kinds. So that's another important one. It's a long game. Remember, we were talking about the long game. That's exactly what this is. Investing is a long game over time. Take advantage of the time. Take advantage of the power of compounding. And, you know, you can really build wealth.
That's the man.
That's where it's
I have hope with money, and I didn't think those two things could coexist about 40 minutes ago. But you've given me hope around money with the way that we are moving, with inflation, with how times are. I like that I can put those two words together. So, Tom, yes, let's go any more questions. You. Thank you so, so much.
Yeah, the man.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, that was incredible, man.
I'm about to rush home and pull up the floorboards and grab the money out from underneath.
You better invest it.
Now, that is risky. That is risky to keep it under the floorboards.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, guys. Love your stuff. That's awesome.
Sussed. Sorted. Shifting.
Want to be debt-free? Sorted.org.nz has the tools and guides to help me. And it's free.